I'm opposed to the system of society in which we live today, not because I lack the natural equipment to do for myself, but because I'm not satisfied to make myself comfortable, knowing that there are thousands of my fellow men who suffer for the barest necessities of life. We are taught under the old ethic that a man's business on this earth is to look out for himself. That was the ethic of the jungle, the ethic of the wild beast. Take care of yourself, no matter what may become of your fellow man. Thousands of years ago, the question was asked, am I my brother's keeper? That question has never been answered in any way that is satisfactory to civilized society. Yes, I am my brother's keeper. I am under a moral obligation to him that is inspired not by any mortal and sentimentality, but by the higher duty I owe myself. What would you think of me if I were capable of seating myself at a table and gorging myself with food and saw about me the children of my fellow beings starving to death? And this week's opening quote comes from Eugene Debs. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. When I first began Surviving the Matrix back in late 2008, I didn't really know what to expect. I'd never been on the radio before. I'd never even really had much to do with internet radio. I didn't even really know it existed. I had a thought in my mind that if I became a radio host, it would be a way to get the word out to people, but I never really knew how to go about it. And as I said, I didn't know internet radio existed at the time, but I did think radio would be a good way to get the word out to people. And then a series of events happened in my life through nothing that I really organized myself that within a very short time saw me offered a radio show and I found myself speaking on air. I've always sat back and looked at the events which caused me to first begin speaking on air and often wondered at how it really happened, because it isn't anything that I planned, it just kind of got dropped in my lap and suddenly I found myself in a position where I was a radio host. It was a very synchronistic thing, and since that point my life has been very synchronistic in just about everything that I've done. But when I first began the radio show, the idea was to empower people. I thought if people could rediscover the truth of themselves and rediscover the power that each individual holds and choose to step into that power by putting down the fear of doing so, then people could make a difference. And so that was my message, and that has been the message pretty well ever since I began. In one way or another, it's always come back to the same thing. When I began the shows, I could have gone any direction. I did very much seek to bring people a positive message and to reassure people that all is not lost. I figure there are a lot of people out there that were bringing the problems of the world to the people, but they weren't addressing what the solutions to these problems may be, and so I always attempted to keep the show very solution-based. And again, I believe the solutions come down to the individual. There's no one who's going to march along with a template for change for you, not unless you, the individual, chooses to change their inner perspective and then apply it to the outer world. And that's how change will come about. And so I've always attempted to incorporate that message into every show that I've done, because ultimately that is the solution. And for those who have listened to the show since its inception, you'll see that it's actually gone through various inceptions and various concepts since the show started. I always sought to reassure people back in the beginning days, but I found that as things got a little bit more unstable around the world, I began to feel that I was helping maintain a state of complacency in people. I mean, it's all very well to empower people and to reassure them that everything is going to be okay, but by the same token, people do need to be aware of the problems that are manifesting around them, and they do need to realize the urgency of them acting individually on the ground to make a difference. I mean, it's one thing to listen to radio hosts and to gather knowledge and watch documentaries and understand what's actually happening in the world and be able to point the finger at the controllers and criticize the system. But unless we actually get involved on the ground, then we're not going to make a difference. And that's really what it's about. And that's really been what the message has been about since the beginning. I mean, as I said, I could have gone any direction with the shows. I could have stayed presenting people with a very empowering, positive message regarding personal changes they need to make for themselves. But again, if they do not apply these changes to the world, then it's really pointless to make any changes within if you're not going to apply them to the world without. And it really gets to a situation, folks, where you have to make the decision. Are you going on air to tell people what they want to hear? Or should you actually be telling people what they need to hear? Are you doing the show to be popular? Or are you doing the show to be truthful? And the thing about being truthful is, as once said by William Cooper, when you tell the truth, you piss everybody off. But it gets to the point, folks, where you have to make that decision. Of course, I believe that you can present the truth to people, but you can still empower them in that knowledge, because I believe that all problems present opportunities for change, as long as the people are willing to see the opportunities that are there. Now, we live in a 3D reality for a reason, folks, and it's because we're supposed to participate. Now, for me, the radio shows really began to change in 2012. My life took a new direction in 2012 when I began traveling again. I'd traveled when I was younger as a musician, and I'd seen the world from that perspective. But when I traveled in 2012, I viewed it more of the perspective of an observer. And the synchronicities involved in the trip that I took in 2012 were absolutely astounding. This was a trip I made where I went away for 10 days, ended up staying away for 3 months, went right around the world and arrived home with exactly the same amount of money in my pocket as when I left. It was quite amazing. The trip took me to South America, where I began the journey with time spent at an ayahuasca retreat in South America, which gave me a wholly new perspective of reality and had confirmed a lot of things that I'd discovered myself in meditation, a lot of experience that I had. It answered a lot of questions for me. And it was during that first time in Peru that the basic foundation for the Full Circle Project began to take form in my mind as well. That 2012 trip also led me to Gaza Strip with Ken O'Keefe, which caused profound changes in my life. It really did. It caused a profound change in the way I looked at the world and in the way I viewed the situation in the Middle East. You know, I didn't really know what to expect when I went to Gaza. I'd just heard so much about this troubled hotspot, and I'd felt a calling to go there ever since I was a child, so I just knew that I had to go there. But I really didn't know what I was going to find when I got there. I didn't really know what the people were going to be like. I didn't know what the situation was going to be like. And to have gone there and to have gone to such extremes to actually do it, and you know, Ken and I didn't exactly gain entry in any easy way. It was a very, very difficult job for us to enter and for us to exit with any degree of safety, but it caused profound changes in my life. And it was in 2012 that the show began to take on a little bit of a different slant. And I began to inject a little bit more urgency into the message while at the same time attempting to still keep the shows empowering, because I believe that all of the crisis that we see in the world actually provide opportunity for us if we view it in the right way. And so I've always attempted to keep that as the general focus, no matter what the topic is that I'm addressing. Now, I've done around about 240 or 250 shows now of Surviving the Matrix, and countless interviews and press TV appearances and seminars and all sorts of stuff besides. And I've attempted to find solutions in every problem that I've found that the world has. And I've tried so many different ways to do this. I've attempted to empower people by using the parameters of the system, by stepping outside the system. I've gone down the free man rabbit hole. I've gone down all of these different rabbit holes in an attempt to empower people. I faced a lot of opposition in a lot of what I've been doing. That's something that I've found out about this so-called truth movement as well, is that there are a great many agents provocateurs in the so-called truth movement. There are a lot of people that are serving their own agenda, and there are a great many people who are very, very willing to name anybody who disagrees with any aspect of what they're saying as a shill. There's also a very, very concerted effort to destroy anything that looks like it's going to create unity in amongst the people. There are certain so-called researchers out there that seem to be absolutely terrified of unity because unity is what is going to bring about change. There is also a great many people in the alternate media who make a damn good living out of it as well, who really don't want to see any solutions because this will, of course, affect their incomes. But I've noticed that any time I've attempted to bring about anything that may create unity, I've always suffered a great many personal attacks and been the object of quite concerted disinformation campaigns. And in many ways, it's confirmed for me that I am making a difference simply because of the amount of personal attacks that I've had launched against me. And some of them have been very, very concerted efforts to discredit me. And so that has been kind of comforting in a way, because it does confirm for me that the message is making a difference and it is reaching people. I've also received literally thousands upon thousands of emails from people thanking me for injecting some sanity into the alternative media, and so that has been very gratifying. Though, of course, I'm not the only one who is doing so. There are still a great many alternate media personalities who are speaking very sane words and who are bringing what they believe to be the truth to people. And it's important to understand that, folks. It's what people believe to be the truth. I mean, we're still looking. Everybody is still looking for what the real truth is. But the real problem that I see is the lack of any coordinated effort by the alternate community to actually stop the system and establish a state of freedom where we can actually have the ability to find out the truth. The reason for this that I see is the state of fear that people are in, the way people are simply too afraid to step into their power, and that's why I've tried every method that I can think of to help people see that the system is fiction and that all there really exists in this society is people, and that no one is more important than anybody else, and that everyone has the same value, and that you actually can step into the power. There's no one who has any authority over you. That's what I've been attempting to show people through a myriad of different ways, because I think that is where the solution lies. You know, people are simply not able to put down their fear of repercussions were they to make their voice heard. But the way I see it, what is needed in order to address this system is a coordinated response by the people, and this is what has led to the creation of the Full Circle Project that is now really starting to take off. And the beauty of the Full Circle Project is that it's a leaderless movement. It's about the only movement that I can think of that is leaderless and has to be leaderless, because any movement that is going to bring about change in the world has to be a leaderless movement, folks. It has to be something that is going to empower individuals on the ground to make a difference in their own community. And the beauty of the Full Circle Project is that now that it's up and running, it doesn't need me to run it or anything like that. It simply runs itself, because what the Full Circle Project is, more than anything, is an idea whose time has come. And the idea is that the individual actually has power, and actually has the power to effect change in their community if the individual chooses to apply themselves. Of course, what most individuals need is a support group around them. And so that's what the Community Connector is all about, and that's what the project can do. It can help people find a support group around them in their own community, and then they can get involved in making a difference. And that was what the Full Circle Project was intended to be from the very start. It was intended to be a mechanism which would unite people to a common focal point. Back in the very inception of the project, I believe the focal point could possibly be the Amazon, but then I began to realize that there is a higher harmonic, and what is causing the problems in the Amazon actually comes from the same system which is causing the problems everywhere else. We need to address it at its very heart, because that is the only way we're going to ever really affect positive change. And so that is what the focus of the project is. And that is why it has the potential to make so much difference, and why it is making a difference. There really has been a lot of really favourable and positive comments coming for people who are part of the project, and so that's been great to see as well. But the point that I'm attempting to make here, folks, is that it's time to push things forward. You know, speaking on the air and doing these radio shows can only really bring about so much change. And it's nice to know that people have been empowered by the shows, but I'm feeling that there must be something more that I can do. So that is why I'm going to be taking some time off the show. This is going to be the last show that you hear from me for a little while. I'm not sure how long it will be, but it will be until further notice. I do have a lot of stuff that I have to get done in the next couple of months. I've got a couple of talks that I have to do here in Australia. Ken O'Keefe is coming over to stay for a month as well. We've got some stuff that we have to do together while he's here. And then I'm going to be heading back to the Amazon, where I intend to work on my health a little bit and spend some time working on a new film. I also want to be able to give some of my attention to Full Circle Project. As I said last week, I don't think I'll be off the air for good. I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to shut me up for too long. There's too much going on in the world, and I'm going to want to have a comment about a lot of it. So you're not going to be seeing the end of me. But I am going to take time off the show for a while, and I can't give you a date of when I may be back on air. To be honest, folks, I really can't afford to be doing this much anymore. I've spent pretty well all the savings I'd ever saved up on attempting to awaken this world. I know I have made a difference, but it's got to the point now where I've got to try to put myself in a position where I'm at least secure in my lodgings. Perhaps I'll get time over the next year to write part two of Earth's Forbidden Secrets and maybe be able to get that published. Maybe that will provide some sort of an income for me as well. But it's important for people to understand that I'm just an individual like everybody else out there. I'm just a guy who is willing to speak. I'm not someone with a vast amount of resources behind me. Everything that you see on the Crow House has been a one-man effort. And I have depleted myself quite a bit in attempting to maintain the pace that I've been keeping up. It's been quite a hectic pace for the last 7 or 8 years. And it's just got to the point now where I just need to have some time out for myself. I think once I'm a little bit recuperated, I'll probably be a lot more benefit to people. And I simply, as I said, folks, I can't really afford to keep going the way I am, because at this rate, in 6 months from now, I'll be out in the cold. So I'm going to need to sort of take stock now and try to get some sort of security so that I am able to continue. But it's been an interesting ride, this quest for truth, this search for truth, and that's really what it's been. Ever since the beginning, it's been a search for truth. And truth is a very elusive thing. It really is. Of course, there are certain truths that we find out along the way, but searching for the truth of what is really going on in this world is truly a mammoth undertaking. And it's an endless quest. You know, you begin this task, you go down this rabbit hole and you start looking at things, and you find out a little bit of stuff here and a little bit of stuff there. All of it amazing. I mean, as soon as you begin looking down the rabbit hole and thinking outside of the box, the world that opens up before you is truly amazing. It's nothing like what it appears to be on the surface, and we soon discover this when we go down the rabbit hole. But we gain little pieces of information along the way, little snippets, and some things that really pique our interest, and we go, oh my God, this is it. Now I know what's going on. And we start espousing these beliefs to people, but then we go down the rabbit hole a little bit further and we find something else, something more that we didn't see the first time. And so we think we've found the ultimate truth then, and we espouse this to people only to find that the rabbit hole has another little tunnel going off on the side somewhere, and we find more truth, and we find more truth, and we end up with so much information and so many possibilities of what could be going on that it becomes very, very difficult to discern what the actual truth is. And it gets to a point in your life when you begin to realize that all of these things have been put there for a reason, and that all of these rabbit holes exist simply to keep you distracted and to muddy the waters so that the truth becomes virtually indecipherable from the fiction around it. And that's the easiest place to hide the truth, ladies and gentlemen, is to wrap it up in a web of lies. Even back in my first film, The Big Picture, that I released in 2008, I said the easiest way to hide an actual conspiracy is to create a conspiracy culture around it, because that way nobody knows which is the real conspiracy. And eventually everything becomes just unbelievable because there's so much noise surrounding the facts. That's what true counterintelligence is, folks. COINTEL. That's what it is. It's hiding the truth within a web of lies, or creating a web of lies around the truth so that the truth becomes so unbelievable that people throw it out simply because of the noise surrounding it. And that's what you begin to realize after a while. After a few years of investigation, you begin to realize that many of the conspiracy theories that are out there are simply counterintelligence that's put out there just to muddy the waters, just to keep people guessing, and just to lead them down blind alleys, which will never lead to any remedy for the current situation. Of course, all of the conspiracy theories that you see that do this all have a nugget of truth somewhere in there. Otherwise, they wouldn't be believed to begin with. As I said, folks, that is the best way to create counterintelligence, is to create a web of lies around a nugget of truth. And that's what we see so much in the world today. But really, what the real conspiracy is, the utterly false reality that's been created around people, is the concept that they do not have any power, that they are just little individuals and that they are not capable of doing great things. The concept that we actually have rulers and there are authority figures, this is the greatest conspiracy of them all. Because authority is fiction. Authority is something that we made up. And authority has no place in the mind or in the life of an upstanding person. It really doesn't. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is that integrity has no need of rules. The problem is that we have societies designed to create people that simply do not have integrity. And it isn't that people are being taught to be consciously malicious. They're just being taught to be good business people and to have good business sense. And there is no integrity in business. Business isn't about integrity. It isn't about humanity. Business is about profit. I mean, sure, they'll talk about things such as ethical business and ethical business sense and all this sort of stuff, but really they're not talking about integrity, they're talking about business. And anything that is putting profits before people has no integrity, and that is the basis of all business. And so that's a real problem for people, you know, and even when you train people to behave this way in business and to be ruthless in business, you need to understand that people are basically good. People are basically giving creatures, we really are. I mean, people like to give to other people. We like to help those around us. We're very cooperative if left to our natural devices. But business places us in a situation where we become competitive. And so this creates a schism in the human mind. I mean, you want to give to people. You want to be what you naturally are. But at the same time, you need to pay to be alive. And so you need to have this business sense. And you need to basically behave in a sociopathic manner, because all business is based in sociopathy. People often want to do the right thing, but they're simply not allowed to because the rules will not allow them to, or the company that they work for will not allow them to. And so this creates a huge schism in the human mind, and people don't really know whether they're coming or going. And I know there's going to be a lot of people out there who disagree with that, who think, oh, well, I run an ethical business and I do the right thing and I provide a good product and all this sort of stuff. I mean, that's not the point, folks. The point is that we have this situation on this planet where what we're doing is we're profiting from each other. We sit here and we trade stuff with each other all the time, and we profit from each other in order to garner the money we need in order to pay to be alive. And just the fact that we have to all pay to be alive places us in a situation of artificial scarcity for our entire lives. And it's this fact that causes all the problems. You know, if we didn't have to pay to be alive and we were able to create things of value and of worth for other people, things that would help the human situation rather than things that we need to make simply to profit from them, I think we would have a very, very different world. And we would have a very, very different business sense. I mean, if that's what you'd even call it, I don't even think we would be calling it business, but we would have a very different creative sense. We'd have a very different perspective of what life was, and we would have a very different perspective on the things we were inventing and the things we were creating, because we wouldn't be creating things which may gain a good market niche, or maybe the next fad, or maybe a good business venture. We'd be inventing things that were useful and beneficial and things that would propel the human experience forward. But we don't do that now, you know. We create things and we invent things in order to shore up our own lives, in order to provide financial security for ourselves and our family so that we can survive the farce that is this system. And this removes us of our real creative potential, folks. It removes the human race of their ability to be able to excel and to be able to propel this human experience to the type of heights that we could actually reach. You know, I really believe that we have so much potential as a species. I really do. I think that our creative potential is off the charts. And if we were not limited by the fact that we're controlled by this ridiculous economic system and this ridiculous social structure that's been imposed on us, I mean, what we could achieve, it's just the sky's the limit, folks. It's really off the charts what we could be capable of doing were we not constrained by this system. And that's one of the things that we don't seem to really pay attention to. I mean, sure, we know the system is there, but in attempting to remedy the system, what we do is we run down all of these rabbit holes and look at all these conspiracy theories that have been provided for us by the system so that we can point the finger at a certain group of people and think that now that we know these are the controllers, then everything's going to be all right or something. I don't know what it's really been for. I mean, where people think they're going with all of this. I mean, you go and investigate all this stuff and you go, okay, well, it's the Jesuits or it's the Jews or it's this or it's that. I mean, now you know this, what are you going to do? You're just going to point the finger at them and send them a hate mail or something or tell all your friends about it. I mean, what we've got to do is look at what the controlling mechanism is and address the controlling mechanism because it's the system itself that is the problem. I mean, sure, we can find out who is running what and who's running this and who's running that, but you're going to find it's all these different compartments, a lot of them that don't even know that they're interrelated. And the real problem is the system itself. And so that's what we need to deal with. And that is the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is that you are free if you would simply believe it. That's the thing. The only thing that stops you being free is the fact that you do not believe you are free because you've been trained to believe that you have rulers and that authority is real. But it's not. It's just a fiction. It's something that we made up. But look, I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so the thing with investigating conspiracy theories and the thing with attempting to identify who the controlling hand may be is that it becomes like entertainment for people. It becomes like an adventure story. Even with the radio shows that I do every week and the radio shows that other people put out, it's like people are waiting for the next chapter of the spy novel that they're reading to be published. And all the while we are going down these rabbit holes and identifying who the controllers may be, many people do not seem to be paying attention to what is actually going on around them, what the system itself is doing. Because the system is the problem. And regardless of who controls it, it's the controlling mechanisms that are being put in place that we are just automatically going along with that is the problem. And with what's being rolled out technologically, with what's being rolled out with the smart grid and the way all the phones are being linked up and social media is all being linked up and the way they're changing the internet, the way the data collection is going and the surveillance system is going, if people don't pay attention to what is happening around them and what mechanisms are being put in place, then it's going to make no difference who the controlling hand is eventually. If we don't pay attention to the system and prevent what is being created around us from actually coming online, then it's going to be game, set, and match for the system, irrespective of who the controlling hand is. This is the point, you see, and this is why I've been suggesting people for the moment to please put their rabbit holes down and to pay attention to matters of state and to pay attention to what is happening around them. Of course, I've been accused by people for saying that I'm saying, oh, don't investigate, don't go down the rabbit hole, don't look at what's happening. This is the way they play it, folks. This is the way counterintelligence works. They take one thing that you say and they tell people that you actually said something else. And they create this whole debate and this whole argument, and then they start calling you out as a shill, and all of this stuff happens, folks. It's all done to detract attention from what was actually being said, which is, it's now time to pay attention. That's what I've been saying. It's time to pay attention. If you really want to know who the controlling hand is and you really want to find the answer to the rabbit hole you're going down, then you need to pay attention to what is being constructed around you right now. Because if you don't, then very soon the internet's going to be very, very different to what it is now, and you're not going to have the ability to be able to research the things that you're researching, because your access to information is going to be severely restricted because you didn't pay attention to what was being rolled out around you. And there's so many things we can use now to get the attention of people. There's so much information that's coming to the fore now, folks. There really is. Even last week, the show that I did last week on cannabis, the level of lies surrounding this plant that has been purposely perpetuated by government, and the fact that, I mean, this cures cancer, it could prevent all of the most polluted industries on the planet from existing. I mean, so much damage has been done because this plant was outlawed. And it was outlawed under false pretenses. This is things you can point out to your neighbours, regardless of what they think about people who smoke marijuana. It's not about that. It's about the uses of the plant and the fact that the government has purposely hidden this from us and has therefore purposely allowed this incredible environmental catastrophe and the health crisis of humanity as well to unfold simply because of their actions. We can point this out to people and we can corner the politicians and ask them the right questions. And things like Gaza Strip, the war crime of Gaza Strip, we can point this out to people and we can corner the politicians and we can ask them the right questions and we can do it publicly. Even the things that are being exposed about World War II now. I mean, you don't even have to go down the Holocaust rabbit hole if you don't want to, but you can just ask about Eisenhower's death camps. You can just ask why we weren't told of things. You can ask why Saudi Arabia is being appointed as a head of human rights while it's beheading an average of one person every 2 days. There's a young kid on death row. I don't know whether he's been killed or not yet, but they intend to behead him and crucify him. And they're doing all this while they're bombing the hell out of Yemen and creating a humanitarian catastrophe there of unprecedented proportions. Over 6,000 people have been killed in Yemen, and they're using cluster bombs and everything on the place now. And while they're doing all of this, they're being appointed as the head of the Human Rights Council. I mean, we can ask our politicians to please explain these things to us, and we can do it in a public enough manner, and we can have these people squirming in their seats, folks. And then we can start asking them to please show cause why we should not be prosecuting them for abuse of office for all of these disasters that they are creating around the planet, because that is not what we employ them to do. We can ask them why the smart grid is being rolled out. We can ask them why they are doing the things they are doing, and we can do it publicly and ask them to please explain it to us. And in asking, we can also inform them that if they do not provide us with a rational explanation, then we intend to pursue the matter and press charges against them under human rights abuses and crimes against humanity and anything else we can think of. We just have to start making our position clear, and we have to start making other people around us aware of what is going on, and do it in a manner that they can understand and in a manner that is going to empower them to want to stand up and call things out for what they are as well. And that's all it really takes, folks, is to call things for what they are. Stop being politically correct in the way we deal with things. Stop going down the pathways that government provides for us and simply call them out for what they are and ask the right questions in a public enough way with a loud and eloquent enough voice in a simple enough language. We do that, folks, and people are going to wake up, because all you're really doing is speaking common sense. And common sense is something that, even if they don't have it, it's something people can identify with when they hear it. You know, I really believe that the time for talk is over. I mean, sure, there's a place for talk. As I'm saying, you need to be asking the right questions to the politicians, but you need to be getting out there and actually doing that. You know, it's one thing to sit here and talk to your computer screen and to talk to people around the world and to type into chat rooms and to do the stuff that we do. But if we're not out there on the ground and going to council meetings and involving ourselves in the political arena in a manner that is going to awaken others around us, then what are we really doing? What are we doing to address anything that's happening? Like I said, folks, you know, we're looking at all these rabbit holes and we're investigating all these things and all these people and we're finding out who all these nefarious persons are, and we're seeing all the stuff they're doing. We're finding out all about all the different groups and all the different organizations and the secret societies and, you know, the Club of Rome, the Bilderbergers, the Jesuits, the Vatican, the Empire of the Three Cities. There's all this stuff we can go and look at and we can investigate. But while we're doing it, we're just not paying attention to the control grid. And really what we're heading for, folks, is a technocratic control system, all digitally controlled and all economically based. And that is the problem. And unless we address that control system, then we're never going to establish freedom. doesn't matter who they are, because like I said, they have put all of these compartments in place, and it's the compartments which are all acting independently that are just working to make themselves more efficient, because the people who work within these compartments all believe that's what success is. And unless we address that and we stop the control grid from being rolled out, then it's not going to matter what else we do. By the time we identify who the big controlling hand is, we will be so constrained within the fictional parameters that we have automatically chosen to go along with, because that's what we're trained to do, that it won't matter. There just won't be a way out from that point, folks. Now, this is what I've been saying lately. This is what I've been attempting to help people shift their focus to. Just to pay attention to what is going on around them, irrespective of who they are investigating, irrespective of who they believe the controlling hand is. And like I've often said, folks, I can prove it's anybody you want me to prove. It doesn't matter. All these things just create arguments amongst people. And I can prove that everybody you think it is actually part of it. So it's irrelevant for now. Let's put that aside. It isn't really important for the moment who the controlling hand is. What is important is what the controlling hand is creating. We've got to look at what the mechanism that is being used is. And we've got to address the mechanism itself, which is the system itself. And it's really interesting. Like I say, folks, we just automatically go along with this stuff. You know, it's gradually becoming more and more digitized and more economically based. And we're just going along with it by matter of course. This is a natural progression as part of our lives. We call it convenience. But who is it more convenient for? It may be more convenient for us, but that's only because we're allowing ourselves to be ruled by economics. That's the only reason we want all this stuff on our phones and all the stuff that we've got here, have it all linked up and everything, blah, 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 because it's all economically based. We want to be able to access our bank account. We want to be able to pay for things easily. And we've got to pay to do everything, folks. We've got to pay to go anywhere. When we get there, we've got to pay to park. We've got to pay to eat. We've got to pay to be educated. We've got to pay to live. We've got to pay to do everything. And we've just allowed this to happen by matter of course. And now we're allowing everything to be digitized. And look, there's nothing wrong with digital technology. There's nothing wrong with technology at all. The only thing that could ever be wrong with technology is the mind of the hand who controls the technology. And that's the problem with the system that we're living in and the system that's been created around us. So this is what I'm saying, folks. We need to pay attention to what is happening, because we don't have that much longer. You know, there's a bit of a bottleneck in technology at the moment, and as much as they're not able to process information as quickly as they'd like to be able to, but that's changing. There's actually a new app that's been invented by Hitachi, and they are claiming that they are able to predict crime now. They're able to identify people who they believe may be about to commit crimes, and they can alert the authorities to go and pay a visit to these people to prevent them from committing the crime. This is pre-crime. This is Minority Report. This is the sort of stuff that they're heading for. And of course, the way they've been able to do this is by tracking everybody through the internet and tracking what the conversations of everybody are, who everybody are linked up to, and all of this sort of stuff. See, search engines, folks, when you are typing stuff into a search engine, you're not just giving the powers that believe they be knowledge of what you're searching for. What you're telling them is what you're thinking about. And by tracking everybody's search engine results, they can get a pretty good idea of what the human race is thinking. And when you link all of this up with the conversations people are having on social media and the places that they're going, you can track them all on the GPSs on their phones, you get a very comprehensive map of the human terrain. And that's what they're putting in place, folks. That's what all the surveillance grid has been about. It's been about mapping the human terrain in order to be able to roll out this AI control grid. And while we are arguing about who is actually rolling it out, we're not paying attention to the grid itself. And that's where we need to put our focus. And you've got to look at how it's all being rolled out, folks. Ultimately, it's all being rolled out because politicians are writing rules on pieces of paper and they're putting this legislation in place, which is allowing it to be rolled out. So government is our interface. Government is the barrier that lies between us and the workings that lay behind it, but it is our interface. We can address the workings that lay behind it by preventing the legislation from being put in place, which is allowing the control grid to be rolled out. But we can only do that if we're prepared to call our politicians out and call things out for what they are. I don't know, folks. To me, it makes perfect sense when I look at this. You know, I've been suggesting lately that what we've been subject to is conspiracy misdirection. And really, it is. I mean, sure, there's a conspiracy, and sure, there's a lot of rabbit holes to go down, and sure, there's a lot of people to point the finger at. But there's so many different aspects to it, and there's so many opinions you can form depending on what information you've had access to, that it just ends up this arena of constant debate and constant argument where everybody is thinking that their way is the right way and that they are the only ones who have the answer. And when everybody thinks this, it becomes very counterproductive and we just end up with what we've got. Everybody fighting amongst each other, everybody pointing the finger in different directions, and regardless of who they're pointing the finger at, the control grid is still slowly rolling itself out. And in fact, the speed is increasing ever more. And it's happening right around everybody, right under their noses, right before their eyes. And no one is paying attention to it. They're all too busy with their rabbit holes, and they don't understand that if they really want to find out the answer, then what they have to do is address the control grid. They have to address the controlling hand behind the control grid, but in order to do that, you've first got to address the control grid, and the interface to do that is government. The only way you can address government is to realize the personal power that each of us has. The ability that each of us has to stand up, make our voice heard, and to call things for what they are. That's where it has to start. It has to start there, and if it doesn't start there, then it's not going to start anywhere. But how are you ever going to really do that and have your voice heard by the general community around you? Well, only if you are a good person who has broken down the barriers in your community and has got to become friends with people around you. This is stuff that I've been saying to people since I first began doing the radio show 8 years ago. You know, the absolute necessity of creating companionship and camaraderie with the people around you, getting to know people, putting down all your stuff and all your barriers and all the social programming that we have with each other, all the social and economic programming. You know, we measure ourselves by the size of our front doors. We're not prepared to listen to what other people say. We always think our way is the right way. And we just don't respect each other. You know, if we've got that basic respect for each other in our communities, then when some person stands up and starts speaking the truth and calling things out for what they are, everybody around them listens because they know and respect the person already. You know, I mean, ultimately it all comes down to inner work, doesn't it? I mean, this is why all the early shows that I did were all about this inner work, and they were all about helping people recognize the beauty in others so that these barriers that they hold with other people would break down. I did a lot of shows about that in the beginning, and I still feel that way. It's a very, very important perspective to have. And even with all of the stuff that I say about the criminal politicians and the psychopaths and Netanyahu and all these criminals who are running the world, I mean, I don't hate them. I can call them out for what they are. I can get quite angry about it, and I can be quite direct about it. But I don't hate them. I don't hate anybody. I don't know how to hate. It's just not what I do. But I have no problem when I see something to call it out for what it is. But all my early shows were about doing this inner work and about breaking down these barriers with people and discovering the true beauty of yourself, because it's that inner work that needs to be done. Unfortunately, there's things like the New Age movement which lead people down this pathway of doing all this inner work and then locks them into a little bubble of spiritual narcissism and teaches them to not pay attention to anything around them, which is completely the wrong approach. You know, if you do this inner work and you discover this inner beauty, and you see the perfection in yourself, and then you begin to see it in others, and you live your life in Lakesh, then you find that things just work for you. And if we can do that, and we can get to know the people around us, then it does break down the barriers, and it makes your voice count for more when you stand up. You know, when you do stand up and call things out, it makes people want to listen, because they already know you. They already know that you're a person of integrity, because you've demonstrated that in your community. You know, the problem is, folks, that we do the inner work, we just don't apply it to the world around us, and so we end up in the position that we're in today. But it's a position that can still be rectified. I mean, all is not lost. You know, we could still change things very quickly if people were simply prepared to put down their stuff for the moment and pay attention. And I'm not saying stop investigating anything. I'm just saying shift your perspective for the moment and have a look at what's actually happening around you, and realize that there is actually a very simple remedy to this. And if you were to apply that remedy, you would find that the rabbit hole you're investigating, well, the door would open up and you'd actually be able to go right down and you'd actually be able to find out once and for all what was really going on. you know, there's a mechanism here, folks. There's a matrix that controls us. And there's been a series of steps that have brought us to this point, and we can reverse the sequence, but we've got to do it in the right steps to get us back to a point of freedom. And really, investigating how we got here, we can do this until the cows come home. I'll tell you what's provable, folks. What is provable is what exists in living memory. And that's all that's provable. Everything else is just stuff that was written in books, and it's very, very difficult to tell who had the right idea and who didn't. I mean, sure, there's a lot of stuff laying around the planet, which indicates to us that the history that we've been given is patently false. But again, we can speculate on this. I mean, I wrote a book called Earth's Forbidden Secrets that I published as an e-book back in 2005, where I speculated on all the stuff that's laying around the planet. I mean, I couldn't offer you any answers as to where it came from. I simply pointed out that there's all of this stuff lying around the planet, which gives us a completely different version of history than what we're being fed by mainstream academia, which would indicate that they're lying to us, folks. And if they're lying to us about the past, what makes you think they're not lying to you about the present or lying to you about where we're going in the future? But ultimately, we can't know. We can't know what happened in the past until we've established the freedom to find out. Just the same as we can't know the answer to so many of the rabbit holes we're going down until we've established the freedom to find out. And so it seems prudent and rational to actually put some focus there, because that will open up everything else. You know, if we don't address the root core of the problem, folks, the problem's just going to exist. You know, it's no good putting band-aids on symptoms. I keep saying this. We need to go for the throat. We need to address the root core of the problem. And really, ultimately, the problem is our belief that we don't have the power to stand up and call all this out. And we do. Of course, there are more and more people that are doing that. There are more and more people who are prepared to speak out now and who are making their voices heard. It's been quite funny, actually, watching Western governments squirm the way they have, especially since Russia has stepped into the situation in Syria. It's been very interesting watching the Western governments attempt to cover up all their misdeeds in the area and attempt to cover up the fact that ISIS is actually being funded and run by the West anyway. And these sorts of things are becoming obvious to people. And so more and more people are beginning to see this world as being the farce that it truly is. But what we need is a way out of this situation that we're in, and a way out of what is being created around us. And I really believe that the way out is to notice what is being created around us. To me, that's a big part of the problem, is that people simply don't notice. And even when they do notice, they don't really know what to do about it. Well, folks, the first step in doing something about it is to call it out. Call it out for what it is and do it in a public enough way. But don't be angry, just be factual. And just ask the right questions in a polite enough manner, and you'll find that you can put these politicians in the hot seat straight away. And by doing so, even if you don't get any results, you still wake up a lot of people around you, because they notice the politician is just unable to squirm out of the situation that you've just put him into. And another way you can make a difference, folks, is to go and sign up to the Full Circle Project and get involved in a group in your local community, a group that can actually start standing up and making a difference and saying these things in the places where they need to be said. You know, if you do go and sign up to the project, you're going to find that you'll find people in your area who want to be involved. You may not find them straight away, but you will find them, and you will find that it's a lot easier to march this forward when you've got a support group around you, and that's what the Full Circle Project is all about. So please do take advantage of it and do seize the opportunity that the Full Circle Project provides. So look, we're getting very close to the end of the show here, folks. And as I mentioned near the beginning of the broadcast, this is the final show of Surviving the Matrix that you're going to be hearing until further notice, whenever that may be. The great danger I face in going off the air, of course, is that I never get any contributions to the website when I'm off air. I mean, the contributions are very, very few anyway. And of course, that always seems to stop whenever I go off air. There are a couple of people who have been regular contributors to the website. I won't mention their names, but I'm sure they know who they are. There's one or two people who make reasonably regular contributions, and I really cannot thank these people enough for their efforts over the years. It really has been a great help to me. as I said earlier, folks, it really has depleted me in many ways doing the show, but I think the message has been worthwhile, and I think the message has been important enough to continue to do what I do. And even going off the air now, I'm not going to be stopping. I will be back, but I just really need to take some time out for myself because my health has been deteriorating, and I don't know, I just don't look after myself, folks. I tend to spend a lot of time on others, but I tend to neglect myself. Not because I mean to, it just doesn't seem important to me, but it's got to the stage now where I really do need to pay attention to myself a little bit, and so that's what I intend to do over the next few months. I mean, I do have some talks and a few things to do anyway. I'll be speaking at the Anacapulco conference around about February 13th or February 16th or something next year in Mexico. I'll also be speaking at the, I think it's Free Your Mind conference, which I believe is in Philadelphia in April. And I believe I'm also speaking at AV6 in England. There might possibly be another event that Ian Crane is organizing in the United States as well, but that will be around April or May. So there are a few things that are already booked that I have to get done in the future, but I want to be spending most of the immediate future on concentrating on my health and in working on a new film. Please, though, if you ever do feel like making a contribution to the website, I really could do with some folks. If people do want to contribute still while I'm off the air, it would be truly wonderful. And there is a wealth of archives on the Crow House as well. If you go to the radio archives link, you'll find shows there going way back to 2008. So there's a lot of stuff there you can go back and listen to. There's probably shows there that you haven't heard. And I'm sure if you really miss the show on your Friday nights or Saturday mornings or whenever it is that you catch it, then you can maybe go and pay a visit to the archives and just run an old show. But thank you very much to everybody who has shown me support over the years. It's been truly wonderful. I really do hope that the shows have helped people and that it has provided some positivity and some empowerment in people's lives, because that's what it's all about. And I'm sorry for those that I may be letting down by taking this time out, but I just really have to do it for myself this time, folks. I really got to pay a little bit of attention to this vessel that I'm steering. I'll, of course, still be available via any messages people would like to send me via the Crow House. I don't suppose you'll be seeing me much on social media such as Facebook, though, unless I have news articles to post. I mean, that's about all I use Facebook for anyway. I don't really have much of a social life on Facebook. I do answer messages there, although it's very difficult because very often my messages don't open on Facebook. I've been looking at my messages on my Facebook account for the last week, and I can see that I have 17 messages waiting for me, but I can't open the message page. Facebook does that sort of thing to me, folks. So if you're trying to get a hold of me, it's best to email me via the Crow House, or if you have me on Skype, to contact me on Skype, because very often I just don't get messages via social media. That's something else that I've noticed as well, actually, folks, which is also quite gratifying and confirms for me that I've been on the right path with the message, is how suppressed the information that I put on social media is. And even with my YouTube channel, it's reduced to 15 minutes. It doesn't come up in a lot of people's feeds. And it's the same with things I post on Facebook. They just don't get shared because they don't come up in people's news feeds. So it is quite interesting, folks, to be putting information out there and to witness such a concerted effort to keep the information suppressed. And it very much confirms for me that I've been on the right track. But look, we're pretty well at the end of the show here, folks. I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who has shown me support over the years. And please do not think I'm gone forever. I'm not. I will be back. But I need to take some time off now. So thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for all your kind emails. Please do continue to write to me and do continue to contact me. Do participate in the Full Circle Project. It's there for everybody. And do get involved because it is making a difference. And I'll look forward to speaking to you when our paths cross again, whenever that may be. But please do take very good care until then, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure spending this period of my life with you. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again when the time is right for me to do so. Until that time, in La Cache.